Welcome, Stephen. Thanks so much for joining us today. I was wondering if you tell me a little bit about Streamloan and what you guys are doing, building.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Just quick intro, Stephen Balfour, CEO and co-founder of Streamloan. So yeah, Streamloan is digitizing the entire home purchase and mortgage process. We started out on this venture about 6 years ago or so. And, you know, most of the world thought we were crazy because we were a mobile first company. And, you know, much of the industry who, you know, really hasn't, you know, had much innovation over the previous decades thought, okay, hey, you know, how does mobile fit in with mortgage? You know, mortgages are complex and they need desktops and they need Windows and they need, you know, fax machines and all this other technology. Right. And it really is not the case. You know, we push the envelope with, you know, the future of work. I mean, forget the pandemic. I mean, we were thinking about the future of work for this category years ahead and really had a focus to reimagine how the work could be done. When you think about the work that a lender or a bank does, right, the loan officers, the processors, and you dissect it down, like, how can we repackage? How can we streamline or redefine how that work is done? And they're engaging, of course, with borrowers, helping, you know, get loans and homes purchased, and then real estate agents to keep them in the loop and to capture new business.
Right. And how do you see Streamloan? What is the problem it's solving, really, obviously?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so the problem, you know, we started to set out to tackle almost 6 years ago, and the problem we still continue to work on today, just, you know, due to the sheer sort of complexity and size of the space, is bringing efficiencies, you know, to the mortgage process. Any of you who have ever applied for a mortgage know how painful it is. You know, it can be weeks or months long and back and forth, and, you know, the lender asking you to send the same kind of information again and a missed voicemail, and it creates inefficiencies. And to put some dollars around it, we're talking about $8,800 is the kind of average cost for you or I to go apply for a mortgage. And you know, the troubling part of that is it doesn't have to be like that. So if you think about how many billions of dollars are wasted every year just, you know, on trying to process mortgages, it's astounding. So that's really kind of the, you know, our entry point. And then, of course, to enable that, you know, with an all digital experience, which is more friendly and, you know, cheaper, et cetera.
And how have you found people's reception to your product? I mean, obviously it's a time saver and a money saver. So, you know, it could only be a win really for most people. Have you had a good response from the public?
Yeah, you know, I would say up until probably 2018, let's say the beginning of time is when Rocket Mortgage was launched, Super Bowl, January 2016. Okay, so that's time zero. You know, before that, you know, there was, you know, a few dabbles, but, you know, that was the beginning of life, and digital mortgage became a, you know, a beautiful thing to talk about, cocktail party conversation. And that was really the beginning of the category of software that we're in, which is called point of sale. Previous to that, it didn't exist, right? There was a little bit of CRM, but it didn't do what we did. And then there was the back office. So I would say in the beginning, there were early adopters, right? Who of course, they got the vision. They're like, yeah, mobile, you know, mobile mortgage process. It makes all the sense in the world. I'd say a large part of the market just didn't get that aspect. You know, there were some customers and even investors and other, you know, players in the ecosystem who didn't maybe believe that, you know, that it was a hair on fire problem. And then the pandemic came and we literally allowed our lenders processing billions of dollars of origination to keep their businesses going. And, you know, they could run their entire operation from their iPhone or an iPad on their couch or in the dining room table or in the kitchen next to their kids while they were, you know, supporting, you know, kids at home. So it was the epitome, right, of the you know, the mobile office. It really was. And so we started to see not only early adopters, but, you know, mid majority and even some of the laggards have to come around. Right, there wasn't a choice. If you wanted to keep your business running, they had to come around. And, you know, even some of the, I would say in the early days, some of the loan officers, maybe, you know, some of the other, you know, employees are like, uh-oh, you know, are they going to automate me out of my job? Right. So that was,
right,
you know, top of mind for some, but of course it plays out. And, you know, that's not what we do. We create tools, yes, to make humans superheroes. We give yeah, you a superpower so you can do more with less, as opposed to sort, right, of automating away the human.
Right. And you mentioned the COVID crisis. What was the exact sort of response and effect once that hit last year?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, but, you, okay, know, I'll try to boil it down to, you know, the nuts and bolts. So,
yes,
I'll talk about consumer behavior, economics, and technology.
Great.
So on the consumer behavior side, what we'd noticed, well, in fact, in the beginning, you know, it was doomsday. The world is over. You know, this is the end of the earth. Like, forget mortgages. But in fact, what turned out is that there was a dramatic shift in consumer behavior. You know, once everyone realized, okay, this is going to be long and hard, but, you know, we will be stronger on the other side. People realized that, you know, the home is important. Family is important. Friends are important. And your gathering place is your home. So in fact, we saw a huge spike. 2020 was the largest mortgage origination year in the history of the world.
More, wow, than $4, how interesting. Dollars.
Interest, oh my, rates, God, were low, right?
Wow. I'm surprised.
It's shocking, and nobody, yeah, would have forecasted this, no, level of outcome. But interest rates are low, so people were refinancing and maybe pulling out cash to add, right, another bedroom, to add another office, a home office or a bedroom, or, you know, fix up their garage and create some more space, right, for the, okay, kids to have a safe place to play. And then those that had the means, they were buying second homes, or they were, right, moving from the center of a city, you know, out into suburbs, or, you know, into second, yeah, home markets. And so, yeah, again, the purchase market was on fire, and the refinance market was on fire. And so the reason I give that background is because that's good for the mortgage business. The mortgage, yes, business printed more money and made more money during the pandemic and than in the history of mortgages, including the 2005, you know, all-time high.
Well, that's amazing, but it really probably isn't amazing if you think about it, I guess, because people were grounded in their homes, right? And, you know, for many long months, in California, at least, it went on for over a year. So, you know, I guess people had to make the most of their homes. And the other issue that happened, which I found very surprising, was that there was a massive exodus out of Silicon Valley, Bay Area. That totally surprised me. Do you know any reason why that happened, or?
Yeah, so
being, you know, in the business that you are,
so exodus might, you know, that's a fun thing for CNN or Fox News to sort of play on. Yes, there was as we talked about, there was a shift in consumer behavior for lifestyle, and, okay, the home became the epicenter, because, you know, in many places in California and other places, you know, there's literally, you know, curfews and quarantining, yeah, and you're locked up. Like, your, yeah, home is the only, you know, that's your gym, that's your restaurant, yeah, that's your, you know, that's your office,
your,
that's
workspace.
Your workspace, everything, right?
School, so, for the kids.
Mm-hmm. School, exactly. So it really became the center, and it forced people. So there was a bigger psychological shift that went on that was important, and I think it's not, okay, talked about much. And that was really around what is important in life, right? It's this kind of existential kind of question. Like, you know, what's important? And the reason the restaurants and hospitality are struggling today, and, you know, the unemployment numbers in some of those sectors are higher by choice, or they have more jobs available than people, is because, yeah, people were forced to rethink what's important in life. And they were not happy commuting 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a day. They didn't, yeah, want to go do that kind of job anymore. So they had a chance, you know, with a lot of the, you know, a lot of the resources that were, you know, printed and distributed out of our government to people, they had a chance to kind of take a step back and say, okay, what's important? Well, Home is important. Family is important. Gucci shoes and a Rolex don't really matter if you can't go and buy them, number one. And number two, if you can't go show them off, right? You're stuck at home. So all of this sort of, forced people to think about what is important. And, the exodus around Silicon Valley or even New York, there was a temporary shift in a decrease in demand for rental and for purchase in the center of cities. But again, the untold story is the FOMO or the fear of missing out. Okay. So the people that were in the center of the city saying, oh, I want more space. I want to move to the suburbs, or maybe I want to move to Jackson Hole or Park City or Vail. But the people that were in the suburbs or in some of the second home markets felt that they were missing out on lifestyle of Broadway shows or a concert coming or being able to step out your front door and meet some friends for an impromptu glass of wine or a coffee. And so you actually saw a resurgence. It was sort of a washing machine, right? So now you have people that were taking advantage of the lower rents and maybe slightly less demand in the center of the cities from the others. And they felt that they were, doing something special that was, had life purpose and was fulfilling. And so that's actually what was going on. And now things have rebalanced a bit where there's continued demand. Companies are starting to feel out what policy makes sense in terms of work from home, part-time, full-time. Do you have to come to the office? Can you come to the office? Do we have an office? Right. And so that's being rebalanced.
Yeah, really. Rethought. Yeah. very interesting and great. You've got a great overview of the whole dynamic, and I guess particularly because of your business as regards mortgages and homes. So,
absolutely. The only other thing, I'll just kind of wrap up that segment.
Please.
The impact on technology. It became a must-have. It became a painkiller, not a vitamin. Even lenders that dabbled their toes or said, "Hey, this is on our next year roadmap." No, this is on the immediate roadmap. And guess what? Their pockets are full of cash. They have a ton of people that are buying homes and refinancing, and they have to have it. And that's it's a new expectation. And sometimes it takes a crisis to reset the world and communities and culture and all, a lot of these big topics, right?
How do you see the market going? Things are obviously settling down a little bit. People are starting to hypothetically think that things might go back to normal, which I don't agree with, but because I think the world's been changed radically and will never return to what it was. But how do you think it will flow on? Because obviously you have to do your predictors for upcoming years. What's your thoughts and your overview?
So, couple of things. I always like to start with the dollars and cents and sort of like what's the impact of the economy and then cascade that down. So.
Good.
Yeah. So when we take a look at the economy and, if you talk to two different people, you might get two different answers, right? Depending on, their exposure to the stock market and such. But in general, the stock market's at an all-time high, right? So if you've had investments, they're doing well in general. Companies are printing money. They're at all-time, record profits. There are more jobs than there are people. There are more great jobs than there are people qualified. So, I think the backdrop is really good, right? Unemployment is low. Growth numbers in terms of GDP. I mean, we're talking about India or China. And this doesn't happen in large mature economies. GDP should be something like around 2% growth, and that's what we've been. For a number of years, we're growing at like 5%, 7%. It's crazy, right? So that's that growth creates opportunity for everyone, right? It may not be evenly distributed, right? So that's kind of a political wrinkle, but it creates opportunity. And net, it's to tie it back to mortgage and housing, in the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to see more purchase origination than in the history of housing.
Wow.
More purchase history. So what does that mean? It means refinances are going to kind of taper off a bit, and most of the volume will be people buying a new home or a used home. And that creates its own set of challenges. Prices are going to continue to drift up, right? Interest rates are going to stay fairly stable, maybe, you know, tick up a titch, but not enough to offset the demand. Right. So if you're trying to buy a home, it's going to be tough. There's a lot of competition and demand.
Right. And so all those new home buyers should just keep saving for a little while until it changes. Is that your advice?
Well, so I'm a bit of a buy the world is my investment philosophy. Okay. If you don't buy now, the price is going to be triple later.
Yeah.
And, you know, it always feels expensive, and it always feels like, oh, well, are we in a bubble? Well, housing supply is tight, and there's more housing formations and immigration and demand for housing than there are units, and we don't see where more units are going to come from. So, you know, we're talking another 5 to 10 years of probably strong growth. So if you're going to buy, you know, get it done now and enjoy the ride.
Yep. Of course, that's very wise advice. Stephen, great to have you on, and wish you all the best with Streamloan. I gather that it's only going to get better, and particularly that you were such a groundbreaking company when people didn't see that at the time when you first started. So good work for hanging in there and now reaping the profits and helping the community. So appreciate you coming on today, and all the best.
Thank you so much for having me. Good discussion, and I look forward to continued conversations in the future.
For sure. All the best. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.